This is CliffCentral.com.
Let's turn our attention now to Anthea, who's got the latest for us in your money, our money, if you have any money. This is where you learn about it.
She looks hard for the money.
Yes, she does.
So hard for it, honey. She looks hard for the money, so you better treat her right.
Good morning, Anthea.
Good morning, Gareth.
What's
we were
happening?
Shimming too much there. Apologies.
Very exciting. Pretty messy week last week, I am afraid. Luckily for us, we did close slightly positive on the week, but we'll go through that in a minute. In fact, global markets are hitting all-time highs. The Dow Jones is now 25,000. Well, it was 25,000. It did have a bit of a retracement.
Greatest levels the stock market's ever been at. Greatest, most tremendous levels.
That's exactly
winning.
Right.
I can't stop the winning.
I want to talk about that, actually, because one of the things that we are very conscious of as asset managers is that the economy and the stock market is cyclical. And so invariably, you're bound to have a retracement at some stage, right? So we don't know how deep it is. We don't know when it is. And so we just follow it. And so people, I must admit, people like me are getting a little bit nervous at the moment. We're sitting there going, we're probably due a little bit of a retracement at some stage.
You remind me of those old people who say...
Thanks.
No, you know those old people say, yeah, every time you something good happens to you, there's something bad waiting around the corner. It can't always be good.
Well,
those prophets of doom, those people who say, oh, your life is just too good. There's something horrible's going to happen soon.
There's like wisdom in that, no?
No.
No? Okay, just negativity. No, but listen, historically we know this happens. And in fact, if you take a look at the stock market charts, you'll see that the time to a retracement shortens. So, you know, every time there's a depression or a recession, the period between recessions actually gets shorter. But I actually don't want to talk about that too much. What I want to talk about is based on historic price earnings multiples, and this is where the reality of the fundamentals comes in. Because can you imagine a company that is making X amount in earnings and the share price goes up and up and up? That company can only produce so much in earnings before it hits a plateau, right? So it's not about historic and, oh, if it's always good, then there's something bad coming. It's about realistically what can they extract out of their product or their consumer base or their market share or whatever it is we look at that gives them these earnings. And the problem is, like in 1998-99, remember the dot-com era, is that everyone was going, this time is different, because there was an explosion in tech and everyone was saying, well, this is not like your old style industrial companies or your car companies or your trains or whatever it was we were analyzing before. You know, it's the dot-com era, the world is going to change forever. And then what happened? The dot-bomb era.
Yeah.
So that's all I'm saying. I'm saying just kind of we're a bit nervous. I think there is still value in a lot of companies, and this is what we do. We look at companies individually rather than just this kind of macro cyclical look. The JSE hit 60,000 this week, closed above 60,000, just for the record, which it did hit 61 in November and then came back a little bit. So it's also fairly high. But I must admit, I think there's still a lot of value on the JSE. There are still a lot of shares trading at price earnings multiples, which really could be a lot higher than they are. Okay. I want to talk about that a bit because I want to talk about my stock picks for the year. But before I get there, I want to finish off last week. I mean, jeez, there was so much last week. And a couple of the big things. In one day, on Tuesday, Aspen was down 10%.
Sure. How did that happen? 10%?
Yeah. The next day, Resilient, Nephi Rockcastle, and kind of all the other property shares were down 11, 12. It was a horrible week. And the reason for it is because there is speculation in the market that there is something called the Viceroy Report being released. Now, if you'll remember, on the same day that Marcus Eustace resigned, I think it was the 5th of December last year, Viceroy, which actually is a media house acting as a research house, I think, released a report saying that Steinhoff was a house of cards. And everyone's putting together the fact that Viceroy has suddenly come up to the party. I mean, they really have like 2,000 Twitter followers or something. They're a media house playing in the investment space, shall we say. And the and then they tweeted about 2 weeks ago, a week and a half ago, they tweeted that they are looking to release another report on either a U.S., European, or South African company. I mean, that's, you know, if you say U.S., lots of companies there, European, and lots of countries there, and South Africa, very specific. And one of the companies we know they're looking at is a U.S.-based pharmaceuticals company. And so everyone put two and two together and got five and started selling Aspen down. And the criteria really for this report, they're saying if the company has high debt levels, if it is very acquisitive, made lots of acquisitions, lots of debt, then things are going to fall in a heap, basically. Stephen Sard, who's the CEO of Aspen, came out and said, don't panic, here are my results, they're all fine, we're safe as houses. What's his name from Property Resilient? Des De Beer. He came out and he was very smart about it. He actually didn't say, oh, you know, this report is nonsense, we're safe. He just said, here's a trading update, have a look at my financials and you decide, which was very clever. Didn't really help, though. The share still closed 12% down on the week. So this Viceroy is hanging over everybody's head. Everyone's worried about it. Can I just say, this is not new to the stock market. Viceroy are a media house purporting to be a research house. They cannot short shares. And you remember what shorting shares is, right? Selling a share that you don't own. So normally you would buy a share, and when it rises, you want to take profit, you sell the share. If you don't own it, you can actually go short it. In other words, borrow it from somebody who does own it, pay them a small fee, and hope the share goes down. When the share does go down, you buy back your shares and give it to the guy you borrowed it from. There is a small intricacy in all of that is that the guy you borrowed it from can at any stage recall the share. And so if you're short the share and he suddenly goes, sorry, I want my shares back, no matter where the share is trading, you have to buy them back and give them to him. So there's a guy in the U.S., activist investor called Bill Ackman. I think we might have spoken about him before.
Yeah, you've told me he goes to all of shareholders' meetings.
That's right. And I think I might have said about him, the only thing bigger than his hedge fund is his ego.
Right.
Anyway, and he shorted a company called Herbalife. You know Herbalife,
I know,
right?
Yeah, yeah.
He called them a Ponzi scheme, basically. He put $1 billion bet that this share would go down. He subsequently, as of November last year, had to close the position because guess what? The share went 50% higher. Yeah. So he's lost 50% of his $1 billion. Okay, so the thing in South Africa and why everyone's reacting like this is because our market is just too small to have activist shareholders, and so this is new, and now everyone overreacts. And it is a dangerous game because these shares can go to zero, and especially if you're leveraged, you can lose more than the bet you placed. So in the case of Bill Ackman, he was probably short and leveraged.
Oh.
No, right?
So good.
He can lose multiples of $1 billion.
Right.
And then the other thing that was very pertinent in our market, because we just can't get enough of, is Steinhoff. We're still talking about it.
Well, of course, it's probably the biggest crisis from a JSE-listed company in a long time.
I think maybe ever.
Quite possibly.
J.P. Morgan put out their results, the good and great American J.P. Morgan, big bank, right?
Mm-hmm.
Released results last week, said that they had crystallized a 1.7 billion rand loss related to one levered derivatives position. Word on the street,
it was
a single stock future in Steinhoff.
In other words, for those people who feel they were hoodwinked, so was the great J.P. Morgan.
Absolutely.
So nobody knew anything except the people inside of Steinhoff, and they'll go to jail for it.
We can only hope so.
Hmm.
I mean, Steinhoff is now a 6.22 share at the beginning of December. It was a 45 rand share, and a year ago it was over 100 rand. Just depressing, quite frankly.
All right.
Yeah, so that's pretty much shares. Can we talk about kind of the three top picks, I want to talk a little bit about companies and where I think the value is on the JSE, because I always deliver such negative news. Right?
Yeah, give us three companies that you think we should watch this year.
Okay. The first one, Anglo American, it's a little bit of a difficult one to buy because global commodities have had such a good run last year. And you know we were invested anyway, but I think right. It's still worth it because it's still trading fairly cheaply at a 6x price earnings multiple. I think historically it's probably closer to high teens, low 20s. So at 6, it's pretty cheap.
Mm-hmm.
They have done exceptionally well to de-lever their balance sheet. So in June of last year, they said they were targeting a 6 billion euro net debt, because you know they now report overseas, so mm-hmm. they report in euros, for December. But actually by June, they had already reached that 6 billion euros. I mean, granted, it is because of lower CapEx spend, so in other words, capital expenditure. So they're not expanding, which is not great for us. But the fact that they've delevered their balance sheet and that they're saying they will pay out 40% of earnings means that they, because of this delevered balance sheet, they are now able to do that. There's a lot of speculation that there might be a special dividend coming. I don't think so. Not until at least the end of the year. But they are now paying dividends, and we do like cash in hand. The other company I do like very much at the moment is Richemont. I say very much. I just like it, actually, because it's another company that's been kind of traded into the doldrums, you know, from 170 or 80 last year, I think it was,
mm-hmm.
all the way down to 80 and now back up to 115. I think it could easily get back up to over 150. And the reason I think so is because the global luxury goods market is suddenly picking up again. What they had before at the end of 2016 was that Richemont had to buy back watches that were stuck in this pipeline from Asian wholesalers because they couldn't get rid of it. So they weren't selling and the wholesalers were sitting on all the stock. And so Richemont said, okay, well, don't worry, we'll buy it back from you. So they've done that. I think they've spent a lot of money doing that. Also a lot of money doing a bit of a share buyback. The watches pipeline has now normalized. Jan Rupert's back at the helm, which, whether you think that's a good thing or not, I'm not sure. But he surrounded himself with a fairly strong management team, and it seems to be working because they put out a trading update last week which showed that things were back to normal. And on top of that, they're implementing a nice internet business. So it just feels like things are coming together. You know, it's not huge, it's not ridiculously cheap like Anglo is,
mm-hmm.
but things are coming together.
All right. And one more?
And then probably my most controversial pick for the year is Comair, because oil, which is a big input into expenses in airline companies, is trading at a 3-year high. But I do like it because, well, for so many reasons, really good management team. They're vertically integrated, so they're cost saving. In fact, they bought the business that supplies the airline food for Kalula and British Airways. It's called Food Direction.
Yes.
And that will save them 37 million rand a year. I mean, they're doing the right thing, yeah, for sure, right? And so I just think from that point of view, like it's looking really good. They do have slightly lower cash on hand. They're not a great dividend payer. But to counter this higher oil price, we now have a stronger rand, by the way, so that's not bad for them. And then also 20% of income is generated from, sorry, not income, earnings, is generated from non-airline brands because of this vertical integration. So they're not that dependent on putting bums on seats in aeroplanes, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And so that I like. And then, of course, don't forget, we've also got this impending lawsuit against SAA, which started out as an 800-odd million rand lawsuit. They were awarded 554 million rand plus costs, which added up to 1.16 billion rand. And SAA then went back and said, we're countering it. By the time it's all done, and I think it'll happen sometime this year, that amount of money that Comair will be awarded if the judgment goes in their favor is 1.9 billion rand. Quite frankly, don't you want to say to SAA, listen, guys, seriously, just pay the 554 plus costs and get away, get out of it. But no, they've just escalated and escalated. I think somebody once asked me if I thought SAA would be able to afford that amount of money, and that, of course, is the big question.
Well,
So there you go.
They just get government bailouts when they can't afford things.
Exactly. Spot on. There you
Daddy
go.
Daddy comes and pays for everything like a spoiled rich kid.
Did you say taxpayer? Daddy taxpayer?
Yes, that's us.
Yep. Yeah. Very kind of you.
I know. Isn't it nice that we
look
after...
I'll be sitting on my Comair shares.
Yeah, I think that's a good call.
Waiting for the taxpayers.
All right. Thanks, Anthea.
My pleasure. Looking forward to all the excitement on World Economic Forum coming up. That's the big thing.
Okay. And then we'll check in with you next Monday.
Speak to you next
week. Unless something devastating or fantastic happens.
Indeed.
All right.
Thanks, we hope for fantastic.
Yeah. No, not devastating. All right. Anthea Gardner, everybody, with a quick look at the markets and some interesting stories and stock picks and what the hell's going on in the Viceroy report, which everybody in the know is talking about. Now you can be in the know as well, thanks to Anthea. It sounds like you know everything. Isn't that right?
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh.
This is CliffCentral.com.